Okay, so we're going to talk just briefly all about the Shaila that somebody asked right before Rosh Hashanah. Interesting question. There's something called a Kriel, which I was never aware of what that was, but I was explained at the time of the Shaila, someone explained to me exactly what it is. Apparently, there are stores that have sales on certain dates and send their customer emails that you can order it on a pre-sale, and it will go through whenever the sale begins. Normally, that's not a problem at all because I just do it and it goes through. However, the question was before Rosh Hashanah that Rosh Hashanah was a three-day Yontif, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, and the pre-sale email went out on Monday. So the question was, am I allowed to send in the order that I wanted to go through once the sale begins on Yontif? So I'm doing everything from beforehand. I'm doing everything on Monday, but it's only going to process on Thursday, which is Yontif. So that's the question. What's the story with that pre-sale, and what's the story generally with e-commerce on Shabbos and Yontif? If a person, let's say, wants to buy something on eBay, and it says on eBay or Amazon, whatever it is, the poster writes that the bid is going to be up on Shabbos. So am I even allowed to post a bid for such an item, or do I say that no, that's an issue of Mekachel Memkar, I'm never allowed to do business on Shabbos or Yontif? So we're going to get into this in three different categories. Now, the Shaila is really broken up into three stages, which we have here on the paper. One is general question of Mekachel Memkar on Shabbos, that we all know is an Isser. Is that an Isser Midaraisa or an Isser Midrabanan? So we'll get into that in a minute. The second part is going to be what is included in the Isser of Mekachel Memkar on Shabbos. And is it only just a simple business deal that I do in my store? Or is it many other transactions also, which we'll see as well? And the third part of the shiur is going to be what's with the Isser Mekachel Memkar b'sheva atas? Let's say like this, I have a situation where I'm not doing any activity on Shabbos. It's going by itself. I set up everything from before, and once Shabbos or Yontif comes, my bid on eBay is going through, or my pre-sale that I put in the money and the order for beforehand already goes through automatically on Yontif. I don't have to do anything. So that's part of the question as well. Is there an Isser of Mekachel Memkar b'sheva atas? When a person is actually not involved in the sale, everything was set up from before. So those are the three stages of the Shaila. I'm assuming that would be part of it as well. I'm assuming they're doing everything for you. You gave them the money before, and the transaction to the stock is going to happen on Shabbos or Yontif, but you set up the whole system from beforehand. You gave them all the money.
You didn't give them the money, though.
What happened? Whatever. You made the Maisa Kinyan, let's say. You made enough of a Maisa Kinyan, which is a question in itself. What is the status of a credit card nowadays, let's say? What is a credit card payment?
They themselves put in the information into the computer on Wednesday or Tuesday,
right.
And it's also have the computer do all the work on Shabbos, so there's even the guy, whatever
right.
It is. In other words, they have the same Shabbos as the buyer has.
So I don't know enough of the Metzias, but it would seem to me that that might be a similar part of the Shabbos. Okay, so let's go through it. Me'akal al-Kavit. We'll start like this. So the
what was your third point different than the first point?
Mm-hmm. First point is Mekachel Memkar an Isser D'Oraisa or an Isser D'Rabbanan?
Right.
That's point number one. Point number two is what is included in the category of Mekachel Memkar on Shabbos and Yontif, and we'll see that in a minute. Point number three is, once we figure out what is in that category, is there an Isser even if I'm not doing any sort of activity or not? So we'll start like this. The Mishnah says in Beitza, and that's the first on the source sheet. The Mishnah says on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, Eilohem Mishum Rishus. The Mishnah there sets up that we have three categories of things. The Gemara says Mitzvah, I have Rishus, and I have a third category as well. So the Mishnah has a category called Eluhei Mishum Rishus. These are the categories, these are the things that fall under the category of a Rishus. Number one, Lo Dunin. On Shabbos and Yontif, we may not have a Din Torah. Number two, Lo Hadshin. We are not allowed to do Kiddushin. And Tosis there on Lamed Bavim Beis has a whole discussion. What if the person never got married before? What if he never was Mekayim Pru Revu? Is he allowed to go ahead and get married? Because Pru Revu, like the Gemara says in Gittin, is a Mitzvah Rabbah. It's more important, it's more highlighted than many others. So that's a discussion in Tosfos. Another related discussion Tosfos has in Gittin is, do we say that a person is allowed to be Megarish on Shabbos and Yontif or not? And Tosfos has it said that it could be a person is allowed to give a get on Shabbos or Yontif, provided that it was written from before, But Tosfos does have it said that b'makom igun, when it's a very special case, when it's something that we're very concerned about, we might be able to actually hand over a get to a woman on Shabbos and Yom Tov as well. But the simple understanding of the Mishnah is lo danin, we're not allowed to make a din Torah. Number two, lo makachin, a person is not allowed to do kiddushin. Lo chotzen, he's not allowed to do chalitza to a yibama. If the woman's husband dies and they have no children, so they can't do yibam, or they can't do chalitza as well. The Gemara Mavur, the Gemara says, the time of the kulu, that the reason for all this category of reshus, the reason why you're not allowed to do any of this, you can't be mekadesh a woman, the reason why we're not allowed to have a din Torah, the reason we can't do any of the above, is because of gzeira shema yichtov. The Gemara says it's because we're concerned, maybe the person is going to write down, he's going to come to write on Shabbos. Why? Because if I have a din Torah, so I don't always remember everything that happened, so there's always one person who sits there and takes notes, or all the dayanim take notes, so that they can remember in the next session exactly where they're holding and exactly what everyone said. So we're afraid that a person is going to write. And the same by Kiddushin, we're afraid that you're going to write about the marriage, or by Chalitza, the Bezdin writes a Shtar Chalitza, and by Yibum, also a concern. So that's what the Gemara says. And then the Gemara continues, B'hamshach ha-Gemara mevur, she'asu la-haktish u-la-hacharim b'shabbos. The Gemara says that I may not be makdish. I'm not allowed to give anything to hektish on Shabbos, u-la-hacharim, to make a cheirim also. That is because of Mekach Umemkar. Because that would seem to be part of this problem of doing business on Shabbos as well. Pierce Rashi. So here's the key line. Rashi writes over there, two pshatim, and why Mekach Umemkar was a concern of the Chachamim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Rashi writes, Didami leMekach Umemkar. Why is it usher for me to be makdish something? Why is it usher for me to make a cheirim? So Rashi says, because it's similar to Mekach Umemkar. Why? Shemotzi Mirshuso. Because I'm taking something that was originally in my possession, and now I'm transferring it to someone else. What's the general status of a Mekach Umemkar? I own a store, it used to be in my possession, and now someone comes and purchases an item, it goes to his. So Rashi writes that the same would be over here. When I'm making something hektish, if I do that on Shabbos, the same thing is happening. Something used to be in my possession, now it's transferring ownership to hektish. So that's very similar to Mekach Umemkar, and therefore says Rashi, that's why the Gemara says, I may not be makdish on Shabbos. Says Rashi, what's the iser? Mekach umemkar aser min hamikra. The tziv mimtso chetzecha v'dabr dabr. Rashi writes that this is based on a pasuk, that it says, mimtso chetzecha v'dabr dabr, which the Gemara in Shabbos Kuflam and Gimel also discusses at length exactly what's a part of that iser. Inami, Rashi has another pshat. Mekach umemkar asilidei ksiva shtari mechira. So Rashi seems to have two pshatim here, and Tosfos quotes Rashi verbatim. Exactly like Rashi has it, Tosfos quotes on Lamed Vav and Beis also. That either Rashi says it's part of the iser of Mimso Chetzecha V'Dabra Davar, or option number two Rashi says is, it's because maybe you're going to come to write. It's a gzera Dilma Asili Dekhsiva. So many of the Achronim point out that it seems from Rashi that he has one side that this might be an iser d'oraisa. Why? Because Rashi writes that possibly the iser of Mekach Umemkar on Shabbos is because Mimtso Chetzecha V'Dabra Davar. So since Rashi writes that, so many Achronim are compelled to say that Rashi holds that the iser Mekach Umemkar is d'oraisa. And the Stechemed is Mayrich, long arichas on this, whether this might be d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, and he quotes all the Achronim that say that it seems from Rashi that this is d'oraisa, then he quotes many that say it might be d'rabbanan. Just want to focus on one raya that he quotes from the Achronim. And the story goes like this. The Gemara in Beitza says on Daf Tesa Med Aleph, Kol makom she'asru chachamim mishum ma'arasayin, afilu b'chadri chadar masr. We have a concept of ma'arasayin. So generally, I would have said that the isra ma'arasayin only applies if we have a concern that I'm doing some sort of activity. Other people are going to be watching from the outside and not knowing what's going on. They don't know the circumstances. So even though you have wonderful intentions in mind, and even though you think that everything's fine with the activity that you're doing, still, we're concerned, Maris Ayin, that someone from the outside is going to see what you're doing, and Shama Yilmud Bimaisa. So the Gemara says over there that that is the principle. That's on Beitza Daf Tesamanal. So Tosfos writes in Ksuvos on Daf Samach that the only time we say that a person is not allowed to do something, even inside of his house, anytime we have a chashash of a Maris Ayin, he's not even allowed to do it inside of the privacy of his own home. So Tosfos says in Ksuvos Daf Samach that the only time we say this, that a person may not even do it inside of his house, is when ultimately people are going to think you're doing an Isser D'oraisa. But if at worst, all you're doing is an Isser M'Drabbanan, for those who misunderstand what you're doing, so then Tosfos says, we do not apply this principle of Afilu B'Chadrei Chadar Masr. Again, The only time we aser mipnei maris ayin, and we say that that extends even inside of the house, Tosfos says that's only when, at worst case scenario, you're going to be doing an iser d'oraisa. However, if you're going to be only doing an iser midrabanan, we never made this gzeira of not doing the activity inside of the privacy of your own home. So that's what Tosfos says. So with that background in mind, let's look at the number two that the Gemara Shabbos says as follows. On Dun Dalet Amud Aleph, it says, Lo yetze habehema bezug shebetzavara. A person is not allowed to go outside with the animal that he has, bezug shebetzavara, with a bell that's on the animal's neck. Why? Dinira kemanda azal lechinga. Because it looks like he's going out into the marketplace on Shabbos. So therefore, he's not allowed to go outside. Shelo yetze habehema bezug shebetzavara, afilu pakak azug, says the Gemara. Even if he closes up the bell, and now there is no issue at all because it's not going to be ringing. The near command also lechinga, and what does it mean? Rashi says, "Ratzalama sheyachshu b'nei adam sheyotze l'shuk l'mekach u'memker." So the Achrenim point out that if Tosfos is right, that the only time we have gzeira of maris ayin is in a case where, at worst case scenario, you're going to only be doing an issa d'araisa. So it would seem from here that mekach u'memker must be an issa d'araisa. Why? Because if we say a person's not allowed to travel outside on Shabbos with a cow that has a bell on its neck, because we're concerned that people are going to think he's going outside to do some sort of business in the marketplace, so if at worst case scenario the business is only an Isser Midrabanan, we would have no business making an Isser of Maris Ayin. So therefore, some Achrenim want to say that this is the basis, this is where you see that Mekach u'Memkar must be an Isser D'Araisa, like the simple understanding of Rashi and Beitzah. However, this is not very simple at all, because that Tosfos in itself is questionable. One second. That Tosfos in itself is very questionable. Why? Because the Ramah writes in Siman Pei Zayin, we have an Isser Basar B'Chalav. So there's obviously three Isserim that are part of that: Achila, Bishal, and Hana. So with regard to the Isser Achila, in Yaradeya Siman Pei Zayin, which is the beginning of Hilchos Basar B'Chalav, so they go through all the different classifications of what's considered Basar and what's considered Chalav. What will make this an Issa D'Araisa? So after the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara in Chulin, Kuptasavav goes through a whole discussion as to what's considered Basar B'Chalav, so the Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. Says the Ramah, that's a number three, Misha Rotze Lechal Basar Of B'Chalav. We all know that eating chicken with milk is only an Issa Midrabanan, even if you cook it. At worst, it's only an Issa Midrabanan, like the Gemara says in Shabbos, that B'Mekom Hashar Rav Yossi, they used to actually eat Basar Of B'Chalav. So we generally don't do it because people very often mix up chicken with milk. So therefore we say that you should... chicken with meat. So therefore we say you should stay away from even eating chicken and milk, just like you would stay away from eating meat and milk. However, the Mekom Hashar Rav Yossi, he held that there was no reason to be concerned about that. Chicken is chicken and meat is meat. And everyone knows that it's different. So the Shulchan Aruch says that let's say I have a person who's twice removed from the Issa D'Araisa. Let's say I have a person who's eating Basar Of. Number one, it's chicken. So that's already only knocked down to a D'Rabbanan. And number two, it's b'chalav shkedim. It's with almond milk, it's not with real cow's milk. So what's the halacha in that case? Right? He's twice removed from the Isser D'Araisa. Number one, Isser D'Araisa is only with basar b'chalav, actual meat and actual milk. And over here, he's number one having chicken. Number two, it's with almond milk, it's not with cow's milk. So the Shulchan Aruch says, tzarach l'haniach b'tzad ma'achalo. Person has to make sure to put on the side of his delicacy, on the side of his chicken and milk that he's eating, he has to make sure he puts the nuts from his, shells from his nuts, that everyone will know and will make it very obvious that he's not eating chicken with milk. What do you see from the Ramah? It's very obvious that even if, over here, at worst, the person is only doing an Isser Midrabanan, because even if he cooked the chicken with real milk, it would only be an Isser Midrabanan. So even though the Ramah says we still have to be concerned that a person is not allowed to do that because of Maris Ayin, and he has to make sure to put the shells on the side of his plate, that everyone should notice, that everyone should know very clearly that he's not eating basar b'chalav, and that he's not even eating chicken with chalav. So what do you see from the Ramah? Not like Tosfos. Tosfos said in Ksuvos Daf Samach that the only time we make a gzeira of Maris Ayin is when we're concerned that a person's going to be over in Issa D'Araisa. But when we're concerned that the person's only going to do at worst an Issa D'Rabbanan, so we don't make a gzeira, so according to that Tosfos, there would be no reason to make a gzeira here. Why does the person have to leave the nuts, leave the shells on the side of his plate? At worst, he's only doing an Issa D'Rabbanan, and it's only chicken and milk. So why are we so concerned? So it would seem from the Ramah that we hold not like Tosus. So the Shach over there on the spot quotes as Tosus, and he goes back and forth. He's not sure. Do we hold like this? Do we not hold like this? Do we make Zeris? Whatever. Anyway, so that's part of the discussion over here.
Tosus said you don't hold it at all.
Yeah, so the Pisrei Tshuva has that discussion. What's with is it only b'chadri chadarim? But from Tosis itself, what did I say? I said it's only b'chadri chadarim. Tosis itself says the only time we make a Tosis says the only time we say that Ma'ar Sinai is usher is when you're going to be over in Issa
D'Oraisa. Across the board.
The Pisrei Tshuva in Yerideya talks about what about that issue of b'chadri chadarim? Is that only what Chazal ushered, or is it even other things that they ushered? But Tosis himself says that it's only by a Maris Ayin where you're going to be over an Isser D'Oraisa per se, but not an Isser Midrabbanan. Anyway, putting all that together, it would seem from the Ramah that we paskin not like this Tosis, that even if a person is only at worst doing an Isser Midrabbanan, he still has to be concerned about Maris Ayin. And if that's the case, then you no longer have a raya that Mekhel Memkar is an Isser D'Oraisa. That was one of the rayas that the Stechemid wanted to bring, but it's very questionable because the Ramah holds not like that. So that's all part of this discussion. Now, Halacha L'Maisa, it says in the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat, which is number 4, Simon Reish Lamed Hei, it's all the way at the end of the Simon, he quotes the Rambam, where the Rambam writes, Hamocher or Hakone Kinim B'Shabbos V'Yamtiv, a person who deals in business on Shabbos and Yamtiv, any sort of business, Afal Pisha Makanoso Al Sha'avar Al Dirich HaChamim, even though we give him Makas because he was over in Issa D'Rabbanan of Mekachu Memkar, still says the Shulchan Aruch and Chiras Arkayim. So what does the Rambam say? Shulchan Aruch is quoting the Rambam very clearly that Halacha L'maisa, we hold the Isser Mekachel Memkar is only Midrabbanan, period. He says it very clearly, no one argues over there, and it would seem from the simple understanding in the Shulchan Aruch that this whole Isser of doing business on Shabbos is only an Isser Midrabbanan, as Rashi said, Gzeira Shema Yichtov.
If you don't think of Gzeira Shema Yichtov, but you know, if you look at that right today with computers, that and worse is the Rabbanan problem, correct?
What, using a computer? The Chazon Ish is not so sure about it.
But I think most of us can hold this Rabbanan.
I don't know, but I think the Chazon Ish says that using electrical appliances is Issa D'Oraisa because of Tikkun Mona.
Yeah, but I think most people don't.
So what?
Even so.
I think Rabbanan are lying. If you start getting into situations at second degrees, you know, it's one Rabbanan, maybe not. All right.
What's the double de Rabbanan?
Because first, the whole issue is saying, I can remember the Rabbanan.
Okay.
If you're doing the whole thing, but let's say you start doing a Shema. First, you could say doing.
One second. When I have the Mishnah Brewer quotes from Rabbi Kiva Eger, I think it's in the Bir Halacha, with regard to something else, in Hilchos Eruvin. So he writes that every time you have two derabbanans, doesn't make it exer or exer.
Right. Okay.
Sometimes you have two derabbanans, but they're not connected to each other. So it happens to be in your case. So Mekach HaMemkar is only derabbanan, but to get onto the computer is an Issa derabbanan. So,
but the Mekach HaMemkar you're doing is just is docked to be done through the computer. Because, in other words, why can't you say that the Mekach HaMemkar is connected? Because it's not you're doing an actual business transaction with writing. You're doing a business transaction with non-writing. No, the risk is always that you're doing it with writing. We're saying it's Shemi Yichto, but there's no writing involved.
Mm-hmm.
Why would that still plug in within the Gazette?
Oh, let's get into this in a minute. When we see
in
a second.
Electronic is not writing.
Turning on the computer is not writing.
When we get into the what falls under the category of the Issa Mekach HaMemkar, we'll see in a minute. What?
24/7.
It's not.
Just theorizing.
When we see in a second what. When we see in a minute what exactly is included in the Isser of Mekach HaMemkar, what's part of this category, we'll see. Mm-hmm. Not everything has such a concern of Gzeira Shema Yichtov, and still it's part of the Gzeira.
Right.
So we'll see in a minute.
Like selling Aliyos on Shabbos and things like that.
So let's get to that in a minute. Let's see. So just to finish off this point about being Deraisa Derabbanan, so the Chasam Sofer is an interesting tshuva, and Arachayim and Choshen Mishpat, two tshuvas that are almost the same. He had an interesting shaila. He lived at the time of the Haskalah, was picking up. So this community, Veraiden, I don't know exactly how to pronounce it, but they wrote him a shaila. Can you please write to us? They wrote him three questions. Can you please write to us, what is the onus of a Mechal Shabbos on Shabbos? Please tell us exactly what it is so that we can tell our Baal HaBatim that, you know, even though you're going into Haskalah, even though you don't believe in God, we could tell him that, you know, the Chasam Sofer wrote to us that X, Y, and Z is going to happen to you if you're Mechal Shabbos, so you better be careful. So that was question number one they had for him. Question number two they said is, can you please tell us exactly what is the story with Mekach HaMemkar and Issa D'Oraisa D'Rabbanan? And question number three was something else. So this is what he writes back to them. He says, with regard to knowing the Einish on Shabbos, who am I? I'm not God. I don't know what it is, but obviously, Unshe Gadol Ad Me'od, you know, you should impress upon them that it's a terrible, terrible thing, and one who does any sort of melacha on Shabbos is going to be punished terribly if he's doing it b'mezid, and that's why there's a chiyuv karma chatos on Shabbos, because even if he does b'shagig, he has to realize that his pugim is neshama and it's terrible for his life. Whatever, he goes on to the whole thing. Fine. Part one is out of the way. Then he says, and I think that Mekach u'Memkar is an issur d'oraisa on Shabbos, says the Chasam Sofer. Why? Because he says that you're right. Even if we're not talking about a person who's going to run a normal business where he writes everything down and whatever. So naniach, he lives in a community where everyone is so religious that no one's going to write anything down. No one's going to be Mechal Shabbos in an obvious fashion. Says the Chasam Sofer, still I think it's issur d'oraisa. Why? And he quotes a Ramban al-Chumash that there's an essay of Shabbos. The Ramban writes that you're going to tell me a person is allowed to sit in his house, and he's allowed to sing zmiras, and he's going to sit and have a Shabbos Suda, and yet all his business is going to be running for him, and he's going to be Machir Tavua, and he's going to be doing all sorts of other things on the side, and that's called Shabbos? What kind of Shabbos is that? So says the Ramban, that's a violation of the essay of Shabbos. That's what the Ramban writes, and that's what the Chasam Sofer quotes. He thinks it's an Isser Midaraisa. So he says, you'll ask on me that if a person looks in the Gemara, if you look clearly in the Gemara Beitza, it seems like Mekach u'Memkar is only midrabanan. The Gemara says Gzeir Shem Yichtov. So what do you mean? It's just Gzeir midrabanan. So how am I coming off to say it's an issa d'oraisa? Says the Chasam Sofer as follows: a big chiddush. Chasam Sofer says that if a person leaves his store open on Shabbos and he's doing business like he always does during the week, says the Chasam Sofer, that's an issa d'oraisa. I don't care. There's no two ways about it. That's an issa d'oraisa. That's like the Ramban says the essay of Shabbos. But what if I make one little transaction with someone? What if I'm not a businessman? I just want to give something to someone, want to make some sort of kinyan with him. What's that going to be? You're going to tell me that's violating the essay of Shabbos? I'm not taking up my whole Shabbos with other activities. I'm doing one thing. I'm just making one kinyan with someone. Says the Chasam Sofer, that's what the Gemara is talking about when it says that Mekach u'Memkar is asur on Shabbos. Gzeir Hashem Yichtov is talking about a person who gets up and makes one kinyan on Shabbos. However, generally, if a person does any sort of business on Shabbos in a more kavua fashion, so says the Chasam Sofer, that would be an iser, actually be an iser d'oraisa, that wouldn't be midrabban. Okay, so that's for the part one of the story over here. Whether Mekach u'Memkar on Shabbos and Yantiv is an iser d'oraisa d'rabbanan, it would seem that according to the Chasam Sofer's opinion, if a person obviously runs his business like usual on Shabbos, that would be an issur d'oraisa. However, if he takes one little transaction, that's an issur midrabban. Now we'll get to the next stage, which is what exactly is included in this issur midrabanan of Mekach u'Memkar on Shabbos and Yantiv. So the most obvious thing that I can think of being an issur of Mekach u'Memkar is when there's a buyer and a seller. When there's two parties involved, then the transaction is going from the possession is going from one person to the other. That's what the transaction brings about. So that's when I would say that generally there's an isser of Mekach u'Memkar midrabanan on Shabbos. However, Akiva Eger, it's interesting, in Siman Shin Lamates, in Aruch Chaim, Akiva Eger writes, he's nostopic, he's not sure, as a person, if he finds a Darash al Hefker on the street on Shabbos, is he allowed to pick it up or not? So I would have said, what's the problem? There's no two parties involved, there's no transaction. So Akiva Eger says he's not sure. That might be a part of the isser Mekach u'Memkar on Shabbos. Why? Because he says, in the end of the day, still, it's being niknet to me. It's interesting, I saw in Reb Zilberstein's Sefer, this reminded me, about seeing a Darvish al-Hefker on Shabbos. Reb Zilberstein has a Shaila. I don't know if they actually happened or they didn't, but it's hard for me to imagine that many of the stories that he brings actually happen, because like each one's crazier than the next. But he has in his Sefer that a guy was walking on the street on Shabbos, and he sees a $100 bill on the street. So he's very excited, but it's Shabbos, what's he going to do? So he goes and he jumps on it, and he says, okay, it's 2 hours till Matzah Shabbos, I'll stand here on the $100 bill, and whatever, after Shabbos I'll take it. So he goes and he stands on it, and 2 minutes later a guy taps him on the shoulder, a poor man, and he says, excuse me, I also know it's Shabbos, but I've been waiting on the side for the past 3 hours already, eyeing this $100 bill. I didn't want to touch it, I thought it was Muktzah, and I thought I wasn't even allowed to put my foot on it, but I've been watching it for a while, just want you to know it's mine. So they get into this whole disagreement, and he says, what do you mean? That's not the sugya of aniyam hapech b'charara. The Gemara talks about aniyam hapech b'charara. That's only when it's not a davar shel hefker, a whole story. So they get into a whole fight. So finally, they make up. The man says to the man who's standing on it, says to the poor man, just tell me where you live. We don't have to both waste our time. I'll wait here till after Shabbos. And after Shabbos is over, I'll give you $50. Don't worry about it. I know who you are. You know who I am. I'll bring $50 over to your house after Shabbos. Anyway, as it turns out, he says Baruch Ham Abdul. He's all excited. He makes it $100, picks it up, and it's a one-sided $100 bill. It's fake. So now they got into a whole fight. The poor man said, "Well, you promised me you were going to give me $50, so maybe you have to give me $50 anyway." Anyway, the whole Shabbos is very strange because the whole thing was betoyis, obviously. Whatever, I don't know. To me, it sounds very obvious that you're not mechuyev, but whatever. Anyway, so that's where Kibeger has a suffix. What's the din when a person finds a davar shel hefker on Shabbos? Is that part of the iser mekach memker on Shabbos or not? Meaning what? I would have said that there's no two parties there, so if there's no two parties involved, that's not part of the iser mekach memker. However, Kibeger is not so convinced. And the Stechemed takes it the other way. He says, what's the din if I want to be mafkir something on Shabbos? Which is really a discussion in the Rishonim in the first parak in Psachim. The Ramban and the Tosfos have a shaila about bitul chametz. Is it hefker? So they have a whole discussion. The Ramban says, if bitul chametz is midin hefker, so what are you going to do when Erev Pesach Shechali is for Shabbos? You can't be mevatel your chametz. That's an iser mekach memker. What do you mean? It's an iser to be mafkir something. Some Rishonim hold it's an iser. Some Rishonim hold it's not an iser. The Meiri actually makes an interesting suggestion. In the Meiri has a sefer called Magen Avos, which is defending all the minhagim that were in the community of where he moved into. So in the sefer Magen Avos, that's why it's called Magen Avos. He's looking out for his ancestors. Anyway, so the Meiri in his sefer actually is machalik. He says there's a difference, two different types of hefker. By chametz, where I want to be mafkir my chametz, and I don't want anyone to take it. I'm happier if it's just, if it's free for all, I'm happier if nobody takes it. So over there, says the Meiri, that's not bichlal mekach memkar because that's not a transaction. But sometimes when I'm being mafkir something, I'm being maknet la'acher. Let's say I owned a backyard, and now I decided I want my backyard to be a public backyard that everyone should come with their children and play on the slides, whatever, play on the swings. So now I was mafkir my swing set, but I wasn't mafkir that everyone should come and take it. I was mafkirit that it should be al-das to be a haknat to the rabbim. I was maknat the rabbim. So says the Meiri, in such a case, that would constitute an isra of mekach u'memkar. But in a case where I just, like chametz, where I don't want anyone to take it, I just want it that it should be mufkir, that it shouldn't be touchable at all. In that case, the Meiri says it could be that it's not bechlal the isra. So that's with regard to hefker. Now, the
When you're doing a mekach u'memkar from Shabbos, nothing happening, it's all verbal. There's no transfer of goods until you pay that money, until he gets that in the Israel shows. So what's happening? There's nothing happening.
By which case are you talking about?
The typical case of Mekach HaMemkar on Shabbos.
By an internet, you mean?
I'm selling you my cow on Shabbos.
Yeah.
What's he doing? He's not giving him money and accepting it so that now the cow's in his shows. Everything is still the same. We're concerned.
The whole impetus of the gzera was that we're afraid that you're going to write down the transaction. I just bought your cow from you, so it would make sense to write it down. We want to have a file that that's actually happened.
Meaning that he's going to sign for it.
No. Right. So that's what we're concerned about. That you're going to write the contract, or that you're going to write it down just to have notes about it. So that's the gzera shamayichto. That's what we're concerned about. So that's with regard to hefker. Now, the Magen Avraham famously writes in the second portion of the Mar Mekumis here, in number one, the Magen Avraham writes in Siman Shinvav as follows. He quotes the Mardukha and he says, Asr litin matana lechaver b'Shabbos, says the Magen Avraham, it's asr for me to give a gift to someone else on Shabbos. Why? Because it's dami lemekach u'memkar sheyotze merushuso lerushuso shel hasheni. V'yesh lach Hashem ayichtov, says the Magen Avraham, we're concerned. If I give a gift to someone on Shabbos, since it's going from my possession into the recipient's possession, so we're concerned that is a gzera of Shema Yichto. So that's included in it. Now, the Ran in the second parak in Beitza, it seems that Shlomo Kluger points out in the Tshuva and Binyan Shlomo, Simon Yud Zayin, that from the Ran it would seem not that way. There's a sugya in the beginning of the second parak in Beitza, we just all had it, by Erev Tavshilin. So before that Yantif, where you need an Erev Tavshilin, and everyone has to make an Erev Tavshilin. Says the Gemara, what's the din if a person forgot? If he's been mazed, the Gemara says, so then he's gone. What's the din if he forgot? So if he forgot, so we assume the Rav of the community is going to have him in mind. What if he forgets a few times in a row? Says the Gemara, then he's out. So the Gemara has a shaila. The person who's out, either because b'mezid he didn't make one, or because he forgot a few times in a row. So do we say, who nesar v'kimcho nesar? Do we say, he's not allowed to cook because he didn't make an Erev Tavshilin? And kimcho nesar, his ingredients are also usher? Or do we say, no, who nesar v'en kimcho nesar? Says the Gemara, what's the difference? Does a person have to give laknuye kimcha la'acher? That's what the Ran says. And we have it over here in number two. The Gemara says a person who forgets to make an Erev Tavshilin should give all his ingredients to his neighbor with a kinyan. And since he's doing that, he will now be able to eat the food that his neighbor made for him. Says the Ran, here's the key words in the Ran. Sheyakne belashon matana. The Ran says, when I'm giving it to the other individual, when I'm giving it to my neighbor, I should give it to him as a gift, below kinyan sudr ela b'mashicha. I should make sure that I give it to him specifically as a matana, as a gift, and I should not give it over to him the kinyan sudr. Why? So Reb Shlomo Kluger points out, because it would seem from the Ran that if a person gives it b'mashicha, b'sudr, when he actually does a real ma'isa kinyan that he would generally do with anything else, so that would constitute a real problem of mekach u'memkar on Shabbos. However, from the Ran it would seem that when I'm doing it in a fashion of only giving it as a gift, so that would not constitute an isser of mekach u'memkar, and that would be permissible on Shabbos or Yantar. That's what they quote from the Ran. However, the Mardechai in that Gemara writes not like that. The Mardechai writes that the reason why it's allowed is because it's a makom mitzvah. I want to have food for Shabbos and Yantiv. I don't want to be stuck without food. So, but makom mitzvah, they never said this dinder rabbanon of mekach u'memkar. But really, the Mardechai says that a matana would constitute a problem of mekach u'memkar on Shabbos and Yantiv. Giving someone a gift is a problem. However, he says that anytime it's b'makom mitzvah, anytime where the reason I'm doing it is to have Simchas Yantiv, like in this case, that would not be a problem of Mekach u'Memkar. Similarly, the Mardechai writes in Sukkah the same thing, that on Yantiv Rishon of Sukkis, we know that everyone needs to have Shelachem. When you take the Lulav and Esrog, it has to belong to you. So how is a person supposed to do it? Let's say he can't afford to buy a Lulav and Esrog, so now he has to borrow someone else's. So what does he do on Shabbos and Yantiv? Says the Gemara, he should be Makneh, he should be Koneh from his friend, but Matana Manas L'Hachzer. The Gemara says he should do it, he should take it as a gift from his friend, Amanas Lahakshar, that one day he'll give it back to him later. So the Mardechai points out, why are you allowed to give it to Amanas Lahakshar? Says the Mardechai, since it's a mitzvah. That since I have to be Mekayim, my mitzvah of Dalaminim, that's why I'm allowed to borrow it, Bimatana, from him, and then later give it back to him. But otherwise, the Mardechai says, if it wasn't a Makkah mitzvah, I am not allowed, I'm actually not allowed to give the Matana from myself to my friend on Shabbos. That would be a prohibition of the Isser Mekkah
u'Memkar. Like a bottle of wine?
Give a bottle of wine for Kiddush. So 1 second. So we'll see in a second. So the Acharonim ask that, how am I ever allowed to give a gift? Because the Magen Avraham raised the issue. He says the minhag used to be that when he had a chassan who came to shul by Shabbos Shavu Brachos, so they used to give him a gift, a chassan, a present. So the Magen Avraham says he doesn't understand. Where in the world does this come from? All the Rishonim say, not all the Rishonim, some of the Rishonim say that Matana is not part of the Isser Mekach u'Memkar. But let's say we assume, like the Mardechai, that Matana is a problem. It does constitute an Isser Mekach u'Memkar midirabbanan of doing a transaction. So then, how, ask the Magen Avraham, how are we allowed to give gifts to the Chassan when he comes to Shul during Shavu Brachos? That's the kasha of the Magen Avraham in Siman Shin Vav.
In a normal Mekach u'Memkar, you have a problem, Shem Yichtav. By Matana, it's not. Who writes it down? I mean,
right.
What is the normal procedure? You don't write down the. Where's the Shem Yichud problem?
Right, so that's why many of the Rishonim say that since a matana you give...
Thank you.
What?
Thank
you.
So since,
to make sure to get back the answer quick.
So listen, so many of the Rishonim say...
What are you giving to you as a matana? You've got to give
right.
it back to me.
So many of the Rishonim write that, exactly like you're saying, that since a matana just goes miyad liyad, it's a quick transaction, so there's no chashash. It's nothing to write down. When I'm doing a kinyan, I actually want to have a file of it, or I actually want to make sure everyone knows about it. So over there, we're going to write a contract, we're going to write down, we're going to do something, we're going to keep it in a notebook. However, over here, by matana, I'm just giving you a gift, what's the problem? Some of the Rishonim say, no, that this was a more universal Isser of Mekach u'Memkar, and it's more inclusive. It would include even a matana, which there really might not be a chashash of ksiva, still we might say that it's a problem. So that's what the Magen Avraham asks. How are we allowed to give a gift to a chassan during his Shavu Brachos? So the Aruch HaShulchan and Siman Shin Vav, here in the same Siman, Aruch HaShulchan writes, nah, giving a gift to the chassan is not a problem. Why? He says, since we're giving to him in the middle of Shavu Brachos, and now that he gets this gold watch from me on Shabbos afternoon, he's going to be so excited. Or now that he gets this beautiful set of shas from me, or he gets this whatever gift I'm giving him on Shabbos, he's going to be so happy. So that's part of Simchas Chasim Akala. So he says, since the Mardechai writes that there's no Isser giving a matana, b'makom mitzvah, for example, when you have the case of the lulav on Sukkis, or you have the case of the person's ingredients, where he wants to cook for the purpose of Shabbos or Yomtiv, So the Aruch HaShulchan writes over here also, this is part of the mitzvah of Simchas Chasim Akala, and therefore I'm allowed to give a gift to the chassan when he comes to shul during Shev Brachos. Similarly, the Sri Deishin, Chelik Beisim, and Chavav has a tshuva. How do we give a gift? Many shuls have the practice that when a bar mitzvah boy, right? So they get up in the front of the shul and they give him a gift on Shabbos and Yontif. So how do you let it do that? So the Sri Deishin talks about that minig, and the Sri Deishin writes that the reason why it's allowed is because either the rabbi should be makne le'acher before Shabbos, he should give it to another balabas in the shul and say, I want you to be kona on behalf of this bar mitzvah boy. So then that's not makne le'memker because they already did the transaction before. Or, says the Sri Deish, that no, since you're giving it, he says that he quotes the Chassam Sofer on Shulchan Aruch, that the Chassam Sofer writes that the minhag used to be in Europe, that when the Rav gave a great drasha, when the Rav gave a great shiur, so they would all walk over to him on Shabbos afternoon and give him a beautiful gift. So the Chassam Sofer says, and why is that not a problem? So says the Chassam Sofer that since it's the Kavod HaTorah, since it's the Kavod HaMitzvah, that I'm trying to point out to the Rav that we're so excited about the wonderful drasha you gave today, so therefore says the Chassam Sofer that you're allowed to do it.
Huh? The Rabbanim paskin it's mutter for them to get a gift.
We're not knowing that we're here.
Surprising.
Yeah. Your Rabbi Finder paid me to say this. So, So basically, the Sri Deish, the Sri Deish writes based on this Chassam Sofer that this would be the same. I'm trying to encourage the young bar mitzvah boy that we're so excited that you're balach lal mitzvahs, that you're going to be chayiv and leave in HaTorah now. So that's why we're giving you gifts, that's why we're showering upon you all this happiness and this joy. So therefore, says the Sri Deish, the same way that Chassam Sofer said, I'm allowed to give a gift to my rabbi because I love him and I think he's giving a wonderful drasha on Shabbos morning. So therefore, I'm also allowed to give to the bar mitzvah boy, even if I didn't make any kinyan before Shabbos, because I'm trying to be mechazik, I'm trying to emphasize the mitzvah of now that this person is going to be chayv in mitzvahs, now that this person is going to be chayv in Talmud Torah. Yeah?
Why don't you send Zaken Uxlo Tana and be makne? You probably on his account before Shabbos?
That's what he says. His first suggestion is that I should give it to someone else.
Well, no, I'm saying, why should I give it to somebody else? Why can't he just be kone it on behalf of...
Because if it belongs to me, I can't be kone it from myself to give to him. Zachman Adam Shalabafanav means when I find something in the street and I know that you would want it, so I'm kind of from Hefker for you. Or if there's someone who I know wants to give you something, so I'll tell him, give it to me and I'll be kind of it for you from now. However, Zachman Adam Shalabafanav doesn't mean that if I own this watch, I can't be kind of it from myself to give to you.
Okay, but in the case, let's say for a bar mitzvah
boy, right,
where you know, congratulations, the sisterhood wants to give you this and the brotherhood wants that and this. So, or on behalf of the board of the shul, that's not the rav or the president who's giving it. It doesn't really belong to the rav or to...
So you're saying who is that?
Who's the real owner as opposed to who's giving it?
It's like Ramesha talks in his tshuva about corporations.
It's like
Ramesha discusses what's the status of a corporation, Ms. Manazet, which makes tremendous nafkaminas. According to Ramesha, you don't make a bracha on Tfilas Kelim. Exactly like you're saying, because a corporation doesn't have a bailin. A corporation doesn't own it, doesn't belong to anyone. The only time I make a brach on Tfilas Kelim is when I was kana from an akum. However, over here by a corporation, Ramesha says, there is no bailin, it's ownerless. It's not that we say everyone's an owner, like you're saying. We don't say everybody's an owner, so that's what Ramesha would say, that since we have corporations, he makes different nafkaminas for Shabbos. But my father always likes to point out that according to Ramesha's understanding of corporations, it would turn out, you don't make a brach on Tfilas Kelim. It's takar savik brachos nowadays. It's not so pashut. Many people do not make a brach on Tfilas Kelim because it's a very big question. What's the status of a corporation? Which is an interesting thing
everyone
to know.
Everyone uses a hefter when it comes to obligatory ribbis. In the America, I'm saying. There
right.
It's a whole different story, but in America, everyone uses that hefter with corporations.
Exactly. So that's what my father points out.
If you're being consistent, then you should be saying the brach. I never heard that.
You should be or you shouldn't be?
You should not be saying it. Like you're saying.
So we don't.
Yeah,
many people don't. That's what my father always points out. If you take Rav Moshe one step further, then when you buy a kli from an akum, so then you shouldn't make a bracha. Exactly. So that's the question is a corporation. So do I say it's a whole bunch of executives that now own it together? Or do I say it's ownerless? It doesn't belong to anybody. And the only time I make a bracha on Tfilas Kelim is when I was kind of from an akum. But over here I was kind of from this nobody. We don't know who he is, but I was kind of from this whole group of people that's really equals zero. So I would have said that a corporation equals 100, but Rav Moshe writes that a corporation equals zero. So if you say that a corporation equals zero, and it's like there's no one on top, it's not like I made a transaction from a guy, and therefore, even if I'm doing the Tfilas Kelim, which might be, I should do a Lechumra anyway, but how can I make a bracha? I'm only allowed to make a bracha when I bought a kli from an akum, and now I need to do a Tfilas Kelim. So it's a very big question, a very strong kasha. So we hold like Rav Moshe, like you said, a lot of people hold like Rav Moshe with ribbis, with other things, with Shabbos. So if that's true, what do you mean? If I'm a big shareholder in a company, our companies are all working over Shabbos,
right?
Even though I'm part of a corporation, so how am I allowed to do that? If it's a Jewish corporation, so then, okay, obviously that's us, or they all close. However, if I'm just part of a corporation that has many different shutvim that are not Jewish, so how am I allowed to do it? So that's why Moshe says that a corporation is ownerless. So once you say a corporation is ownerless, so then you can transfer the din over to Tefilas Galen. Might be a serious question. Okay.
Our mitzvah boy, by the way, they give it to him and they say, I'm asking you should be called it after Shabbos.
Right, so the Svi Deish says that also. But how many bar mitzvah boys actually say it? They're very excited.
They tell the bar mitzvah boy that should be called it after Shabbos.
So what does that mean? That's the best. The Svi Deish says that's the best thing to do is to be maknali de'acherim. Second suggestion the Svi Deish gives is like Rabbi Fine said, that you should just give it to him and say you shouldn't be coming to the Shabbos. And the third suggestion he says is just Odia Shlomer, you know? It's like my father always likes to say that, Rav Soloveitchik used to say over in the Shir, that there was a Chassidish Rebbe who was giving a Tish Parshas Lech Lecha, and he gets up, he says, two Shtar Kakashas, two problems. Why? He says, number one, why is the words Lech Lecha, why is it written with two big lamas? And number two, why is it written with two chesses? It's very strange. So the guy by the Tish, the Misnagid by the Tish, not the chess is listening. The Misnagid by the Tish perks up, he says, Rebbe, I have two kashas on you. Number one, it's two small lamas, and number two, it's two chaps. He says, Adiyah Shlomer. So here also, Adiyah Shlomer, that you just don't give a gift at all, you get yourself out of the problem. Yeah.
Well, when you give it, then you have kavanah, then so if you don't have kavanah, the fact that he's taking it from you, if you don't have kavanah to be makna.
So there's no das makna.
Yeah, so then he's not kavanah, so you have in mind. Does
right.
That work, or?
Yeah, that works.
That's what the rabbis are probably doing.
Sounds good to me. What? Yeah, everybody knows. Okay, so now we're getting it. Yeah. What? He doesn't have a kid. He's going to be. He's going to need to use it. Could be. Right. Could be. It's, could be. Not sure. Okay, so now we're going to get back to where we started, which is now we're getting to the punchline. Now there's no time left. It's great. So I'm just making a disclaimer now. We're going to continue next week, being that I see we didn't get through this, and part two is going to be anyway next week about what about if I own the internet site, do I have to close it down for Shabbos or not, which is a whole different question itself, all about B&H photos, whatever. You can look it up this week. Very interesting. But basically, let's just get to a little bit of what we are discussing here about Mekach HaMemkar. Maybe we'll discuss this a little more next week about Sheva Al Tasa. So what's the story with doing it for Sheva Al Tasa on Shabbos? What's the story if I don't have any active role in the Mekach HaMemkar in the transaction on Shabbos? Is that also part of the Isser Mekach HaMemkar? So, when we look in, my father writes in his Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, that when we look in the Rashi in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Vav, so Rashi says, the only time I'm going to be Chayiv Mishim Melacha B'Shabbos is when I actually do, Rashi says, Einu B'Skila, Elam Kein Aser Melacha B'Davar Sheyesh Bo Maisa. Rashi says the only time I'm chayiv skila, the only time I'm chayiv mishum malacha b'Shabbos, is if I actually do some sort of activity. Now, very strange. We only find this qualification with regard to Malkus. The Gemara says in Malkus that in order to be chayiv Malkus, I have to do a lav sheyesh bo maisa. Why? As the Gemara says, it has to be dumya de lav de chasima. This lav, in order to give a person lashes, in order to give him Malkus, he has to transgress some sort of aveira, which is like the lav of lo sachsom sharbedisho, which means a person is not allowed to put a muzzle over his animal. So that is something which is yesh bo maisa, that requires an activity on my part. So therefore we say that the only time I'm going to get malchus is when I do some sort of activity. So that's a special din with regard to malchus. So where does Rashi get this from, that the same applies to Shabbos, that the only time I'm chayiv skila is when I do some sort of activity, but if I'm not involved in an activity, I'm not chayiv skila? Where does that come from? That's a din specifically about Malkus. Where does it come from over here by Shabbos? Where does Rashi get this idea from? So, you can say that it's by all chayvim misas also, because we find by Megadef, let's say. Megadef es Hashem is a lav she'ein bo maisa. He doesn't actually do any sort of activity, yet we find that he's chayv misa.
That's the only thing you can do.
What?
You can't do Megadef with maisa.
That's yeah. the essence of
right, but Rashi's saying that you can't be chayiv skila if you don't do a lav sheyesh bo ma'aseh. So how could it be? We don't find that by Malkus, if there's an avera that I could only do through dibur. So you're going to say I get Malkus just because it's the only way I could do it? No, we say it has to be with a certain standard. It has to be in a certain way. The same thing is by Ovid Avodah Zarah. If a person stands up and he says, you know, look at this totem pole, Iliyata, this is my God. So if he says that about the totem pole, so now we say that he's chayiv misa. Why is he chayiv misa? I didn't do anything. So you see that by misa, you see in order to be mechayiv a person misa, he doesn't have to actually do an activity. So where does Rashi get this idea from in Sanhedrin, Samach Dalid, that in order to be chayiv skila for transgressing an Isser on Shabbos, I have to actually do some sort of activity? So that's the question. So it would seem that Rashi believes that the definition of a malacha is only when I'm doing something via diet. Otherwise, it's not called a malacha. Period. We don't say this by all chayuvim misa. It's only by Shabbos, that in order to be considered a person who violates Shabbos, I actually have to do a malacha. So that's with regard to malachas. That malachas you can only be over when I actually do an activity, just like in the Mishkan. The only time it's called a malacha is when I do some sort of activity. And the same is, if you look in the Nemukhi Yosef and Baba Kama Daf Yud, I guess we don't have enough time to go through it, so we'll skip that raya. Okay, interesting, but that would seem to be the underlying principle by malachas, that you're only chayiv when you actually do some sort of activity, but when you don't, you don't. You're not chayiv misa. What's the din, however, by gzeira on Shabbos? Gzeira midrabanan. Does that follow the same rules as a malacha on Shabbos? Or do we say gzeira is, even if a person does it, b'sheva al-tase, he doesn't have an active role in going against this iser midrabanan. He's doing it just in a passive fashion, so maybe he can be over that iser as well. That's a question. So we find, let's say, by an iser derabanan of shihiya. So that's an iser that a person is not allowed to leave something on the flame, cooking before Shabbos. What do you mean? I'm not doing any sort of activity on Shabbos. I'm not doing the iser bishul. I didn't actually turn the fire on. I didn't put the pot on before Shabbos. There's an iser shihiya. It's a gzera midrabanan, not to bishul. So the Gemara says that this iser midrabanan you can transgress even though I didn't do anything. So how can that be? So many achronim want to prove from here that you see that even though when it comes to malachas, the only way to transgress an actual malacha is if I do something with my own hands, if I do some sort of activity, when it comes to gzeira midrabanan, I can even transgress that passively, even if I don't do anything.
How much Shabbos clock is that considered to be?
So my father has a whole shtickel Torah about this in his latest sefer, that he's been saying for years that Shabbos clock, which is really, what's the iser of Hashmas call? It's gzeira midrabanan because Shem Yisak and Klishir. The Gemara says maybe you're going to play with the instrument, you're going to do some sort of malacha. So it's Gzeira Midrabanan. So my father pointed out, and then it should be also to use, not Shabbos clock, he was saying about alarm clocks. Okay. And it should be also to use alarm clocks because it makes noise, and that's Gzeira of Shem Yisak and Klishir. Maybe you're going to fix it. But he said, he writes in there that apparently he's wrong because everyone disagrees with him. He's not sure why. If you say that you can be transgressive malacha, even B'Sheva Al Tase, so then translate it to that Gzeira Midrabanan, you should also. So it could be that that's not Shema Yisrael and Klishir, because that was said by a piano where a person wants to have a certain sound and now it doesn't sound like it's fine-tuned. So then we say Shema Yisrael and Klishir, that's where the Gemara writes it.
So any machinery that you have inside the house, your hot water system, your heating system, your air conditioning, anything should not be able to go because Shema Yisrael.
Take it to the last level.
You have your air conditioning going without a Shabbos clock. It's going.
So we're
going
to speak next week. The Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Yud Ches, there's a Machlokes B'Shabbos B'Hillel, about Shvisos Kalev B'Shabbos. Does a person have to make sure that his Kalev aren't doing Malacha B'Shabbos, and we pass on that that not. So we'll see that in next week, which is all about Shabbos clocks and all these things. But we'll get into that next week. However, when it comes... Yeah.
Are you calling putting up a pot of challah 5 minutes before Shabbos Shia?
No. That's putting up a... One second. Putting up a pot of challah before Shabbos is Shia. Yes, because I'm not... That's Gzeira Midrabanan.
On the flame.
That's Midrabanan. Why? Because it's not cooked.
What about into an oven? 5 minutes before Shabbos.
Yeah, that's Shia.
Shia
is an Isser. Shia is an Isser Midrabanan. The question is, there's an Isser... There's an Isser. Here, let's just make this clear. There's an Isser Bishul Midaraisa. Okay, the Isser Bishul Midaraisa is if I take a pot, I put it on a fire. Period. That's Isser Bishul Midaraisa. So, why should there be an Isser if I take my challah pot, like you said, 5 minutes before Shabbos, put it on the fire? What's the problem? I didn't put the pot on the fire on Shabbos, so what's the issue? So the Gemara says that's a din midrabbanan because of shihiyah. I'm not allowed to leave things on the fire like that unless I have a grufa ktuma, like we call it, a blech. The halachic term for it is a grufa ktuma. And otherwise, I'm not allowed to leave it on the fire. A guy asked an interesting shaila today to my father. There's something called, one second, I forgot already what it's called. I wrote it down because the photo is very interesting. No, kadera blech is an old story. Induction cooker, which works with ferromagnetic metal. How interesting is that? But whatever, maybe we'll discuss this another time. But, what? No, I figured out what it is. What? Yeah, with the coil. Fascinating. Unbelievable. So amazing. So the shaila was, do you need a blech on that? Whatever. That was what they were discussing today. Very interesting. But anyway, maybe for another time. But basically, back to the story over here. Sorry, we're getting off topic. But like this, Reb Kivega has a shaila in some Kuf Nun Tes. Kivega writes as follows. Someone, his brother, Rabbunim Eger, wrote to him a shaila. He wants to know, when we come to the Isser of Mekach HaMemkar on Shabbos, can a person even be over B'Shev Al-Tasa? For example, let's say I have a person who Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos, and I want to sell my chametz to the guy. So, I'm not allowed to sell my chametz to the guy on Shabbos, that's Mekach HaMemkar. But I also want to have challah on Shabbos morning and Friday night. So what am I going to do? I can't sell it all on Friday. I don't want to eat matzah the whole time. I'm not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So what do I do? I'm stuck. So what does everyone do?
Egg matzah.
So what do you do if you don't have egg matzah? What do I do if I... Flush it down the toilet. So what do I do if I have so much whatever? It's not big enough. My toilet's not big enough, right? You throw it out. So what does everyone do? So the minhag olam is, in many communities, that we sell the chametz on Friday, and we tell the guy that we want the kinnah to be chal on Shabbos after this manus of chametz. Period. So that's the question. Is there an iser mekach HaMemkar b'sheva al-tasa or not? So the minhag olam is that we all do that. We sell the chametz on Friday, and we tell the guy we only want the kinnah to be chal on Shabbos afternoon. So that is exactly the shaila that Rabbi Kiva Eger's brother, Rabbi Bunim Eger, sent him. He wanted to know, am I allowed to do an activity on Friday afternoon, which is only going to come to fruition on Shabbos? Is that part of the Isser Mekach HaMemkar? Or do I say no? Mekach HaMemkar means that a transaction actually has to happen. But when it's just happening automatically, that's not part of the problem. So if you look at this interesting, in number two, Gimel number two, he quotes the, Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes this Shumas HaDeshen, which is as follows. He has a question when you have a... should we finish this next week? Maybe we'll get back into this next week, but basically it's a question about a Pidin HaBen. Pidin HaBen on when Yom Lamed Aleph falls out on Shabbos. So when do you do the Pidin HaBen? You can't do it on Shabbos because that's Mekach HaMemkar. I'm giving money and I'm getting the kid back. So what do I do about doing it on Erev Shabbos? And asking the Kohen that I'm giving you the money now and I only want the Pidin HaBen to happen on Shabbos itself. So the Trumas HaDeshen wants to know, does that work or not? So says the Trumas HaDeshen that, no, you can't do that. Why can't he do that? So he should have said he can't do it because that's Mekach HaMemkar. Says the Trumas HaDeshen, no, the reason I can't do it is because, if I give the money on Erev Shabbos that it should be Chal on Shabbos, then I can't make a bracha on Shabbos. Yeah, so? And he says also, if I do the whole transaction on Friday that it should be Chal on Shabbos, then I lose out on my Suda. And usually we have a fancy Suda for Pinna Ben, and over here nothing's happening, so I can't make a Suda. That's what you say? So the Rabbi Kivager points out, don't you see from the Shumas HaDeshen that from the fact that he chose to say that the reason I can't set up the system from before is because I'm going to lose the bracha, I'm going to lose the Suda, don't you see that I'm allowed to set up a system where there's no Isser Mekach HaMemkar B'Sheva Al-Tasa? However, says Rabbi Kivager, I'm not so convinced about it. I need a Raya Mechrachas from the Gemara, and he says, I don't know where the Shumas HaDeshen is coming from. To me, I think that you can be over Mekach HaMemkar even B'Sheva Al-Tasa. And Ramay Shana's Tshuva writes that as well, which is a very palatable Tshuva in our Chaim Chela Gimel, Simim Emdala, that Ramay Shana says that Zenis and Mekach HaMemkar, like Rabbi Kivager says, he says, even though the Shumas HaDeshen is very compelling, Milanu Gadol mi Rabbi Kivager. How can you say against Rabbi Kivager? He said he's not sure, so I'm also not sure. That's what Ramesha says, therefore we should be machmer. However, we Nagu Ha'am, for our Nagu Ha'am, that when we have Erev Pesach, Shechalias B'Shabbos, that we're all Mekel, and we sell the Chametz from Erev Pesach, and we say that it should be Chal on Shabbos itself. So therefore, when it comes to, over here, the pre-sale, or the eBay, or the Amazon, when I actually had this Isser Mekach HaMemkar that should have been in play, because I am actually doing a transaction on Shabbos, and I do want it to go through on Shabbos, however, since I'm doing a passive, I'm only having a passive role in this Isser, so we would not say that this is part of the Isser Mekach HaMemkar on Shabbos. Why? Because we hold generally like the Trumas HaDeshen, not like Rabbi Kivager. Many Acharedim say like that, that if a person is not having an active role in the Mekach HaMemkar, he's not being over, he's not violating the Isser of Mekach HaMemkar on Shabbos.
You can't say that there's a difference between Makam Mitzvah, Some of the days you're talking about, like, putting in a bed.
Uh-huh. Could be.
And selling the chametz.
Could be. I don't know. The Akronim don't think of it. I don't know why. I don't know. Okay, so now for a word from our sponsor, the Parshas Noach. So the just a quick thing. On the back side of the page, I photocopied something my father wrote over from Rav Soloveitchik, which was fantastic. He says as follows. Ve'yigach shem v'yavisas ha-simla. We have a famous story in this week's Parsha all about Shem, Ham, and Yafes, who were the sons of Noach, and they come in after the episode of Noach becoming drunk. And two of the sons see that Noach is laying there in an embarrassing fashion, and they decide that they're going to cover over their fines. Listen to what he says. So, they cover over the embarrassment of their father. Pirush Rashi says, Rashi quotes the Medrash, that it doesn't say vayikhu, that the two sons took together. It just says vayikach, that he took. So what does it mean? Limin al shame, shenis amitz b'mitzvah yosar miyefes. It shows that shame was more interested in doing it than Yefes, and he jumped right away when he saw his father laying there like that. He jumped right away to do the mitzvah. Yefes only tagged along later. Lakach zachu banav l'tal shal tzitzis. Therefore, since shame jumped right away to take care of this mitzvah where he was being mechabed his father, therefore he later on had this chus that his b'nei banim, the Jewish people, have the mitzvah of tzitzis. The Yefes, zachu, Yefes also did a nice thing. Yefes also helped out in the mitzvah, but he wasn't as enthusiastic. He was zachal lekvura lebanav. Shenemar etain legog makom sham kever. Fine. So we have the two sons, and each one does a very, very wonderful thing for their father. However, one of them did it with great enthusiasm, and he was very excited, and therefore he gets the mitzvah tzitzis. The other son does it with not such enthusiasm, and therefore he gets the mitzvah kvura. Where does this come from? What's the schar mitzvah keneged mitzvah for this? What kind of payback is this that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Shame the mitzvah of tzitzis, because he was running to help his father, and he gives Yefes the mitzvah of kvura? What kind of paying back is this? So Soloveitchik explained as follows, which is really fantastic, that he said as follows: V'hanir lomer bezet, the bezin yanim nifredim hema. There are two different types of activities that we find by people. Number one is etiquette, if you look at the stars, musarit, which means there's etiquette, and number two, I'm sorry, there's ethics and there's etiquette. Two different types of things. There's ethics and there's etiquette. So he says, Ha'etika mechayiv la'adam lasos ha'tova ha'yashar afilu kishahu beino lebeinatzmi. When a person is an ethical human being, so he'll do the right thing even if no one's looking, even if no one's ever going to find out. He knows that ethics dictates that this is the way he's supposed to act. However, ve'ein shamam ne'adam achem haron oso she'yishav kloso. Ba'adirama, afilu kishayesh sham achem she'yigano oso. To the contrary, even if there are people who are going to laugh at him for what he's doing, I'm an ethical person, I know I'm not supposed to be doing the following, I won't do it, doesn't matter. Mikal makom ha'edika mechayev eslo sheyaseh sato v'asanachim. V'ha etiquette. Now what is etiquette? So Soloveitchik explained this follows. Hu inyan shel yofi. Meaning what? There's different etiquette of eating at a table in different countries. For example, I eat in New York, I eat in America, so I have the fork on this side, the knife on that side. Maybe in another country the fork will be on top of the plate, maybe the spoon will be over here or over there, so it's different. Etiquette depends on where you are. Depends on the surroundings that you have around you. So he says it's totally on yofi. It's an issue of looking good in front of the people that you're with. What do we consider to be a nice thing? It always changes. Every country has its own set of etiquette. The only time I have to use the fork and the knife in this fashion is when I'm with other people and they're going to think it's very strange that I'm not. But if I'm at home, I could put my fork and knife on the plate. What does anyone else care? I could use my hands, right? Mumi tam kavod abrius, and that's because of kavod abrius. Shalal zalzal b'kavod azulas. That we don't want that I should be mezalzal in your respect. So if this is what you consider to be normal, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow suit. V'lasas b'famet v'ram sheis gan behem. V'zehaya ikra hevdol shemein shemiyav. So here he goes. Here's the punchline, that this is the underlying difference between shame and yefes. Why? Because if we look carefully at what they did, shame is amitz v'hischel b'davar kisayar v'savet. Shame right away jumped to help his father, to cover his father. Why? Because he was an ethical person. He said, if my father's laying here like this, I have to help him. Even if no one else wants to see, even if no one else is watching, I'm going to run right away to do it. Alfa b'shelo ha'yashum lachatz me'acherim, no one was pressuring him to do it. Ki heven al pi ethics, shemin ha'nachal nasos kein ha'atzal esavim min ha'busha. The fikach, therefore, zachu banav l'tal shel tzitzis. Why? What does that signify? I am agad Avram la'arachayim b'shem ha'arizal. not like a chassidim. The Magen Avraham quotes the Arizal. I'm not sure what the makor of the chassidim is. I'm sure it's something, but the Magen Avraham quotes the Arizal that a person is really supposed to wear his talis katan under his shirt. It's supposed to be hidden. Just the string should stick out. Why? Why did Shem's ancestors? Why did they later on get the mitzvah of tzitzis? Because it's exactly what Shem did. Shem cares about the inside. He cares about being ethical. He cares about what he believes is right, not what everyone else is going to stare at him, not what everyone else is going to perceive his activities. He wears his tzitzis under his beged, and it doesn't matter that no one else sees that he's wearing them. He knows it's the right thing to do. However, if you skip a little bit, Ach Yefes, the first word on the line, Ach Yefes lo hishtate fi mitzvah zu, b'mnei shehevim me'asos shekenu v'nanachon lasos. Yefes didn't get involved just because he thought it was the right thing. Yefes only got involved once he saw that it was what the people around him were doing. Yefes only jumped in to be a part of this once he saw that Shem took the initiative. So once he's coming along, so therefore his matan schar that he got was the mitzvah of Kfura. Why? Because Kfura is all about kilas elikim tali. Kfura is all about kavod avriyos. Kfura is all about, we want to make sure that in the eyes of other people, we don't have a kilas elikim tali. We don't have a person who's going to be totally embarrassed by his surroundings, by everyone who walks by him. So therefore, it's mida keneged mida that we have Shem who cares about the inside. We have Shem who cares about the ethical human being, the moral values that he considers to be really strong in his mind. So therefore, his b'nei banav had the schus that they got the mitzvah of tzitzis because they wear the tzitzis inside because they know it's right. However, when it came to Yefes, since he was the person who only went along because what others were doing, he only cared what other people were saying, we gave him, he also gets credit for what he did, but we only give him the mitzvah of kura, because the mitzvah of kura really points out this issue of what others are going to think of this person. So maybe next week we'll continue a little more about this issue.